You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
It is Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, and your smart speaker. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and our guests appear on the Goodyear Hotline. I am Matt Jones, Braden Gall. We are filling in on this day after Thanksgiving for Bart and Hahn, and we are glad to be here with you to talk about a weekend of football. I was saying Wednesday night, Braden, that I actually think this four-day period, starting on Thanksgiving through Sunday, might be the best period of football all year around, all year long. You get four straight days of it. The games start the moment you get up until you go to bed. On college football, it's rivalry Saturday. You get to see the Cowboys on Thanksgiving. There are really good games this Sunday. Is this the best four-day football weekend of the year?
I think if you're a college football fan, you could argue Labor Day weekend where you go five straight nights of college football.
Yeah, but most of those games stink. I mean, they'll play a couple of good ones, and there's no NFL yet, so I don't
know. This is like we've got the Big Ten West championship up for grabs, the Big Ten East championship up for grabs. You got the Big 12 championship game up for grabs. You got the ACC Atlantic Division up for grabs. You know, we know the SEC championship game, but it's all rivalries across the SEC. Oh, by the way, we're into week 12 of the NFL season where division races and playoff spots are starting to get figured out. You mix in a couple of killer basketball games in college and the NBA. I'll even throw in the MLS Cup playoffs. How about that? You got the NHL.
I'm not throwing that in. You can have that. You can have that. What you all can do is be a part of Barton Hahn Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. ESPN Nation is presented by Dr. Pepper. College football is heating up and the fans are hyped. You can feel it. And you can return to glory with Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. Now, the biggest story today is the fact the Cowboys lost again, this time to the Raiders at home on Thanksgiving. That is not what you want if you're a team that believes you are contending for a Super Bowl. And so I'm going to give you some straight talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, and I'm going to say that the Cowboys are done. Not done as a team. They're probably still going to win the division. They're probably still going to go to the playoffs. And then they're probably still maybe even going to win a game. But as a Super Bowl contender, Braden, they're done. Because Super Bowl contenders don't lose at home. They don't lose at home on Thanksgiving to a mediocre team. They don't get blown out like they did against Denver. They don't get shut out from touchdowns on offense like they did against Kansas City. And they're done as a team that I think has a shot. I thought there were 9 teams that could win a Super Bowl going into yesterday. I'm down to 8 because the Cowboys are off my list.
If your argument and your bar is win a Super Bowl championship, then I'm willing to listen to that argument a little bit more about the Dallas Cowboys. If it is,
I'll say make a Super Bowl.
All right. I just think when you are in first place, you've got a lot of pieces that are injured. 2 of those losses came against the Raiders and Chiefs, 2 teams that are above 500. The Chiefs are a surging team right now, one of the hottest in the NFL. Dak Prescott throws for 375 without his 2 best weapons and his star left tackle. I think you're going to see Micah Parsons continue to develop as a superstar that he's going to be. I think there's lots of reasons that you can, and I don't want to make excuses for the loss because that's not what I want to do. I just think in the world of the NFL, the Bucs were 7-5 at this time last year, went on a run and got to a Super Bowl. Do I think that's what Dallas is going to do? No, that's not my prediction. But I think counting anybody out who's a first-place team with a star quarterback who's playing as well as Dak Prescott is, then I have a hard time just saying, oh, just they're finished, they're done, they're over. My biggest question for the Dallas Cowboys is going to be the coaching staff. That's the big, because Mike McCarthy is a proven commodity. We know what he is. We've got 10 years, 15 years of data on him. That is the question for me is, does he change? Does he evolve? Does he have a new wrinkle, a new thing that is not the same thing we've seen for 15 years that allows Dallas to get over the hump? That's my question.
Can I just say one thing about Mike McCarthy? It is easy for people to not like him and to question him. On Sunday mornings, I host the NFL pregame show with Myron Metcalf, and he blasts him every single day. But Mike McCarthy has at least one. He's won a Super Bowl. Dallas is better since he got there than they were before. But what about everybody else involved with Dallas? What am I supposed to believe about them? Like, what am I supposed to even believe about Jerry Jones after 20-plus years of being, you know, not relevant and then after the games complaining about the officials? I like Dak Prescott, but what proof do I have that he's going to win at a significant level? I think it's very easy for people to look at the Cowboys and to say, well, okay, Mike McCarthy's game plan I don't like. But I've seen Mike McCarthy win. I haven't seen the Cowboys win, so I don't know why he always gets the blame.
Well, so for me, I thought, and this is a complicated answer because I think Jerry Jones, there were some times where Steven overruled him in the draft room, and I think that was the smart decision, right? Like, he wanted famously Johnny Manziel in the draft, right? And yes. Steven stepped in and said, no, let's take this guard from Wisconsin or Notre Dame, and he ends up being like an all-pro player. So I think there are times when sort of people in Dallas have to force Jerry Jones out of his own way. And I think, to your point about Mike McCarthy, there's a floor there that we've seen. He's accomplishments, right? We've seen him win a bunch of games. The knock on him in Green Bay is that he failed to continue to progress. He got stale. He got stagnant. He sort of got stuck in his ways. And then the relationship with Aaron Rodgers and him sort of, you know, deteriorated. The key with me is that we are talking about the Super Bowl as the bar. If we're talking about just winning the division, just getting into the playoffs, you know, winning a game
but
in the
McCarthy's
playoffs.
But McCarthy's won a Super Bowl. Do people forget that? I mean, they act like, you know, okay, well, his floor's not that low. His ceiling's pretty high. They were good for a long time.
Last segment, you just got done ripping on Coach Orgeron and Les Miles for winning national championships and not being rocket scientists.
It's different in the NFL.
No question.
Dumb coaches don't win in the NFL. Bad coaching in the NFL will do you in. In college, you can recruit, and your players are so much better than everybody else, it doesn't matter. You can't do that in the NFL.
I 100% agree. And when I say, like, hey, my one question is about Mike McCarthy, it's not – like, is he an okay coach? Can he win the division, right? Like, my question is, does he take Dak Prescott the way he used to take Aaron Rodgers and make him better every single step of the way? And then, again, the reason it stopped in Green Bay is that it got stale, and he stopped reinventing his offense. He stopped innovating his scheme. He stopped doing that stuff, and that's why he and Rodgers sort of went their separate ways. So, again, we're talking about very, very small margins here, right? When you're talking about winning an NFC Championship game or winning in the divisional round or winning in the Super Bowl, we're talking about extremely small margins. And if we're talking about those types of things, then it's for the Titans, for example, best record in the AFC. Well, let's say Derrick Henry's back healthy and they're running to an AFC Championship game. Well, the margin is going to be Ryan Tannehill, not Mike Vrabel. The margin is Ryan Tannehill, and he's been really, really good. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, we're arguing.
But McCarthy has done enough to do it. The Cowboys and Dak have never done enough to even be in the conversation. And that's what makes me more skeptical. It's Barton Hahn here on ESPN Radio. If you Cowboys fans still believe you have a chance, first of all, you're probably wrong, but I would like to hear from you. 888-SAY-ESPN. You can make the case for the Cowboys as poorly as it is. Now, Jerry Jones, after it was over, he complained. There were 28 penalties called in the game. 15 on the Cowboys, 13 on the Raiders, which I think is important because some people acted like the Cowboys just got completely jobbed. That did not happen. But the last call, especially the pass interference, upset people. It is the case, Braden, that there were a lot of penalties called. Maybe you even think too many. But did you feel like the Cowboys were at all jobbed, or is it just one of those things that they didn't adjust and they lost?
No, first of all, it was that last pass interference call on Anthony Brown questionable? Sure, you could argue it's 50-50. My argument to fans who I think are lazy when they blame officials, I think it's lazy fandom to blame officials. You've got 100 plays in a game your team could make. Go make another play. How about the play on the previous drive or two drives earlier where the center moves his head and gets a penalty, even though that happens on every single play in the NFL? Like, that was a call that went the Cowboys' way. I think over the course of a game, you're going to get a handful of 50-50 calls that go your way and a handful of 50-50 calls that go the other way. And that's just the nature of the sport. What you can't have is 28 penalties in a game as a whole. That, for as entertaining and as dramatic as that game was, it just was not a well-played football game. Both quarterbacks, I thought, did an excellent job of overcoming some of that stuff. But if you've got Anthony Brown, who's had three penalties already, pass interference and holding, you're not going to get the benefit of the doubt.
I mean, it's four. I mean, you want to try to say that they were all bad? I mean, that's the thing that, you know.
Right.
At some point, they were real. And the other thing is, on that last play, there were people who say, well, I don't like if the officials, you know, decide the game. But that was third down, right? So if you don't call that, then basically you're deciding the game by saying he can run into the guy and he can't catch. Like,
right.
That
right.
was one of those instances where whatever happened was going to be the game. So the official has to make the determination. Had he turned his head around, I don't think they call it, Braden, but he didn't.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And so if because he didn't, you put it in the position that sometimes not calling will also decide the game. And people, I think, forget that quite a bit.
Right, right. And you said, like, you know, one time, okay, fine. Two times, it's a trend. Four times, it's a thing that you're doing. Like, if my 3- and 5-year-old are upstairs and I start hearing one of them cry, and every time I go up there, my 5-year-old is like, I didn't do it, I didn't do it, I didn't do it. The fourth time, I'm not even going to ask. I already know who's up there messing with the 3-year-old. It's the 5-year-old's fault. So, again, you kind of have to just – officials, can we be better as a set of officials in every level of football, the SEC, college football, the NFL? Could we have better officiating? Yes, it's not been a great year of officiating. Was that a poorly officiated game? I don't necessarily think so. I think it was a sloppy football game. The officials tried to do their job. And again, there were bad calls on both sides. You do not lose football games in a sport where there's 120 plays. You don't lose a football game on a referee call, unless it's like literally the last play of the game. Like
the one NFC championship game.
The Fail Mary, right.
That one I think may have been. That's Straight Talk by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract and no compromise. We are now joined by our good friend, ESPN NFL and college analyst Sam Acho on the Goodyear Hotline. And, Sam, I'll start with the question your response to the comment I made. Are the Cowboys done as a real Super Bowl contender? I believe the answer is yes. Am I right or wrong?
You're wrong. You're absolutely wrong for a couple reasons. Number one, the Cowboys lost 3 out of the last 4, yet they're still a game up in the NFC East. And I get it, we're not talking about the NFC East. We're talking about getting to the Super Bowl. So let's talk about NFC. The Cowboys are 5-1 against NFC opponents, right? And so I'm like, okay, cool. All those things sound good. Those are the Cowboys' kind of benefits. Here's the downside with Dallas. You talk about the pass defense. Yesterday, 14 penalties, 166 yards given up, right? That's bad all across the board. But I think that these issues that you see that are whether it's pass interference, defensive holding, face guarding, all these issues, in my opinion, all these issues are correctable. Taking my opinion out of it, these are correctable issues. You get them corrected by focusing on them more in practice, not by getting new players, but by saying, hey, you know what? We're going to do different things in practice to focus on no holdings, whether it's through our walkthrough periods, whether it's through our individual periods, our team period. We're going to do drills where we focus on turning around and finding the ball, right? And so I think if the Cowboys get that solved, they still got the number one offense or top two offense in the NFL. Mind you, yesterday they didn't have two of their top receivers, right? CeeDee Lamb was out, Amari Cooper was out, still put up 33 points. And so I think the Cowboys are still a legitimate contender, but what they need to do is they need to find their stride, if you will, right? Defensively, they need to find it. I'm not worried about their offense, but defensively, these issues that are correctable need to be corrected. And thankfully, there's still 6-7 more games left to get them corrected in order to make a playoff run.
Well, and everything in the NFC is sort of relative to the other things that are happening around them in that league. And it doesn't matter if Kyler Murray and Aaron Rodgers didn't play when those two teams lost, Arizona and Green Bay. It doesn't matter when you're trying to fight for a home playoff spot, right? It doesn't matter that, oh, you played a tough team and you lost a tough game without your starting quarterback. Yes, that's a reason that Arizona and Green Bay have sort of come back to the pack a little bit. Tampa Bay's doing the same thing, right? They've lost 2 out of 3. So everybody else around the Cowboys is coming back to the pack as well.
Yeah, that's so true. And it doesn't matter. No one cares why, but it happens, right? No one cares that Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb and DeMarcus Lawrence were all out. Nobody cares, but it's just – and Randy Gregory. But it's a fact, right? So nobody cares, right? Tom Brady, Tampa Bay, they just lost to the Washington football team, right? They lost 2 out of the last 3. Nobody cares why they lost. You know what I mean? So they're back. They've lost. You look at the Green Bay Packers last week lost to the Minnesota Vikings. Look at the L.A. Rams. I think they've lost two out of three. I definitely lost two in a row. And then the Arizona Cardinals a few weeks ago lost. They're on a bye week right now. So all the other top teams in the NFC
are
also losing.
It's not the same.
How is it not the same?
Because, look, all right, so let me go through the list.
What's not the same?
Well, if you will let me finish, Sam, instead of just asking me over and over, I'll answer for
you. No, you got to start. You have to start. What's not the same?
What's not the same is the losses of Tampa Bay, the Rams, and Arizona and Green Bay, they're not the same. Tampa Bay lost on the road. Okay, that happens with almost every team. The Rams lost at home, but to good teams. Green Bay lost to the Vikings. They're a decent team. Dallas got blown out at home by Denver. When's the last time, Sam, you've seen a Super Bowl winner get blown out at home by a mediocre to poor team? I can't ever think of it happening.
I'll tell you about last year. Last year, Tampa Bay Buccaneers didn't get blown out twice in the regular season by the New Orleans Saints.
But New Orleans, first of all, New Orleans was good.
You might not say they were, and they weren't a mediocre team.
Yes,
but they were. They got blown out in the regular season this year. You think Washington's football team is a
but it's on the road, Sam. It's on the road. Teams lose on the road,
right, but
nobody loses to bad teams at home. Nobody loses to bad teams at home.
Yes, when you get to the playoffs, sometimes you play games on the road. You got to win those games on the road. So the whole home or road thing makes no difference to a good football team. It's not about home or road. It's about what do you do? Are you winning your football game? So we can take the whole home team, road team. The fact that Tampa Bay this year, last week, Tom Brady lost to the Washington football team. According to you, this sounds like they're a mediocre team.
That's
right?
Not what I said, Sam. You're taking what I said and completely ignoring it. You can lose on the road.
So what did you say?
I said you can lose on the road. Every good team loses on the road, and you can lose at home to a bad to a good team. But if you get blown out at home by a bad team, show me a team that's ever gotten blown out at home by a bad team and won the Super Bowl. Show me one.
Okay, so you're telling me that – so your criteria – I want to answer your question. I want to talk about – your criteria is you cannot – so you can get blown out on the road but not at home. Is that
there's a difference. There is a difference.
That doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, it does make sense. They're in two different places.
I can't show you a team. You know, I don't know – I can't go through the history of the last 10 Super Bowls and tell you who won on the road or at home or regular season. But I can't tell you that. Because I don't think that matters as much, right? As a guy who played the game for 9 years, a guy who played in the playoffs, went to the playoffs, won at home, won on the road, lost at home, lost on the road. It's not about being blown out at home or on the road. What matters really, I think what matters is what you do when it counts in December, right? November and December football. Kansas City is a prime example. Kansas City has been playing bad all season. I don't know their schedule so far, but they probably got blown out probably at home and probably on the road as well. Yet all of a sudden, these last 4 weeks, they have found their stride.
I agree with you, Sam. The last 4 weeks matter. How have the Cowboys done the last 4 weeks?
All right, cool. So the last 4 weeks, Kansas City has given up 11.8 points a game. Their defense was bad early. They were giving up 29 points, but they found their stride, right? So what any good team needs to do, Cowboys, Steelers, Patriots, you name the team, Cardinals, they need to find their stride at the end of the day, right? That's what matters, because when you start winning, the Ravens for the last couple of years have gone on streaks in November and December to get them to the playoffs. So just go on around. No matter what team you are, just get hot. The Cowboys haven't these last 4 weeks. But mind you, it's a 17-game season. There's still six games left to get hot. And so no matter what team you are, whether it's home or road, find ways to win, and that's kind of my point. I don't agree or subscribe to the criteria of you have to win at on the road or not get blown out. That makes zero sense to me. Everyone has their own opinion.
Sam, the Kansas City, I got your back here, man. The Kansas City Chiefs lost at home to Jacoby Brissett and won the Super Bowl.
There it is. But hold on, the criteria, did they get blown out, or was it a
no?
It's not important.
Is winning. I don't care if you get blown out. If you don't care, you win by one or win by a million. The criteria is winning. Winning in football matters.
Here are the two scores. The Kansas City Chiefs won the Super Bowl 2 years ago. and they won the Super Bowl, losing at home to both the Colts, led by Jacoby Brissett, and the Houston Texans. That was 31-24. Those were one-score games, so they were not blowouts, but they gave up 50 points at home to two mediocre teams and still won the Super Bowl. Mm. I think there's a middle ground.
Last time I checked, those were not blowouts. Sam, it was very nice to have
home,
you.
But you said home. You said you lost at home.
I did say home.
You lost at home to a mediocre team.
My goodness.
That's what you, last time I checked.
This is what I get for making a complex argument with Braden Gall.
Thank you so much. I'm glad we got statistics and facts to back up what we're saying. Everybody go look it up.
Sam, thank you very much for your time. You can see him on the college football studio shows on Get Up, etc. Sam Acho, we appreciate it.
How did I get blamed for you two arguing for 10 minutes?
Because you came in and took his side, and if you're going to do that,
there's a middle. There's a middle ground here, whereas Super Bowl champions do in fact lose at home to mediocre teams. It has happened in the past. Is this one time a blowout define the chances for the Dallas Cowboys to go on a deep run? I think you're adding a little too much to a one-game situation. I think there's a middle ground. You both can be right. How about that?
I think you're wrong. So join host Gotham Chopra as he explores what Tom Brady has meant to football and the world in Man in the Arena, a new podcast from ESPN Plus and the Religion of Sports. It's a companion piece to Gotham's ESPN Plus docuseries. A 10-part podcast examines the improbable ripple effects of Brady's career, things that have forced us to rethink everything we thought we knew about time, hatred, perfection, and even fate. The podcast is brought to you by State Farm, ZipRecruiter, and Rocket Mortgage. Listen and follow Man in the Arena now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, and stream the docuseries on ESPN Plus. I will tell you, Braden, something that's funny. I'm sitting here doing this show on the Friday after Thanksgiving in a sports bar that we do here in Lexington. And the people that are sitting here just hear me like randomly yell and they can't hear the other side. And they look at me like I'm absolutely insane. They're like, look at that man just yelling in the corner. And who is he even talking to? 888-SAY-ESPN. We've got Cowboys callers ready to take up for their team. Take up for Sam. That's next here on Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Bart and Hahn.
28 penalties. I don't know what the hell you want me to say. I mean, so
it was tough, but we eventually got it going. Defense played a good game, giving us a chance to get back into it and make some plays in the fourth quarter. And we pushed it and made an overtime game and came up short.
Here's what I want Mike McCarthy to say. How about fewer penalties? How about you stop committing the penalties? 28 penalties. I don't know what you want me to say. How about you commit fewer, and then they won't happen. It's Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio, Matt Jones and Braden Gall. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and pet protection comes free with auto collision coverage. Visit progressive.com. I have declared the Cowboys gone as a Super Bowl contender. Sam Acho disagreed with me. Braden Gall tried to play UN peacekeeper, but he disagrees with me as well. And they're wrong, but it's okay. It's all right to be wrong in this world.
Well, listen. I would agree with you, but then we'd both be wrong. So
no, I'll stay being right. You guys can do what you want. But the Barton Hahn Nation is ready to weigh in. Emmanuel is on the phone, and you too can just hit us up on the Dr. Pepper call-in line right now. Say ESPN, 888-SAY-ESPN. Let's go to Emmanuel in Roanoke, Virginia. Emmanuel, what do you got?
Hey, thank you for having me on. Appreciate it. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. So I agree with Sam Ocho, what he was saying. I'm a diehard Cowboy fan, been a Cowboy fan for four decades. So I follow him for a long time. So just key points, and then I'm going to have a question for you.
Wait a second, Emmanuel. Who did you say you agreed with?
Sam.
Sam who?
Ocho.
Oh, I thought he said Ocho, Braden, and I was going to go ahead and just dismiss the argument right there. But if you said Ocho, now I got to hear you out. Go ahead.
I think they need to get their defensive players back. Two key guys, Gregory and Lawrence, get them back and they be better on defense. Offensively, you know, that Cooper and Lamb definitely need to be there to get them going full cylinders. Now, definitely cut down the penalties. I've been frustrated with them, with the penalties all for the last few games. It's been atrocious. They definitely need to cut back on their penalties. And then run the ball. They had, 20 carries, 21 carries. Dak had one. And that was just not going to be the recipe for them to win.
I agree with you. Emmanuel, let me ask you a question, Braden. Do you think the running the ball, is Zeke just not the same? Because they don't do it nearly as much.
No, it's an interesting point. And you look at what New England's doing, right, turning their season around with a rookie quarterback because they're leaning heavily on the ground game. I mean, listen, right now, in that game in particular, especially in the fourth quarter, it called for a lot of Dak Prescott having to sling it around, and so maybe that's the way the game played out. But I agree. I'd like to see a little bit more identity, a little bit more split 50-50. I also think it's valid to look at all of the injuries and say this is a reason why they haven't played as well of late. I do want to crystallize my stance because I think your stance is pretty crystal clear. They are not going to the Super Bowl. Period. You don't think they can go to the Super Bowl. Period. And I appreciate
exclamation
that.
Point.
I would argue that you are right that a home blowout loss to a bad team is a very bad indicator for anybody in any sport trying to win a championship. Home blowout loss to a bad team. I get that as a criteria. I also think they're in first place with a lot of guys coming back healthy soon, with a lot of winnable games on their schedule, with an opportunity to get a home playoff game, maybe a second one if things break their way. And I just – is it unlikely that they make a run to the Super – is it likely they make a run to the Super Bowl after a home blowout loss to a bad team? Yeah, it's very unlikely. But is it impossible? Is it off the board? That's where I sort of think to say, listen, the NFL has shown us – with 10-6 teams and 9-7 teams that can win Super Bowls against undefeated teams, that we just see crazy things in the NFL.
Yeah.
And that's how they design it. So I'm just not willing to
– I mean, that's nice. And that may get you an honorary star in Dallas, but at the same time, it's also incorrect. They're done. And I think it's okay for them to be done. I think, by the way, I may be a little out there. I don't know why they don't play Pollard over Zeke. He's better, isn't he? Is he not better right now?
I mean, he had a better game yesterday.
I think he's had a better game the last few games. I think he has more juice. I think they can't do it because of how much they're paying, Zeke,
right.
But
right.
I think he's better. Lawrence is in Honolulu.
Ooh.
Lawrence, it's a beautiful day, I'm sure, in Honolulu. You're not going to, like, ruin that day by calling and making a bad point, are you?
No, I'm not, sir. I got a good point. Listen, you guys, Ohio State commentary was great, very insightful. But I got a comment about the PI, the last one on Anthony Brown. That was a no call. And the reason is that ball was woefully underthrown. The reason there was contact was the receiver turned and was climbing over Anthony Brown. He had his arms extended. His momentum was carrying him downfield. I mean, that was a no call.
But, well, first of all, you're right. It was underthrown. But here's the problem. If he doesn't interfere, then maybe the receiver could come back and get it. And so that's why I agree with you. And I agree with you. It was unfortunate, Braden, that it was a pass interference because it was underthrown is why he ran into him. But you still have to give the receiver a chance to go make a play, and he didn't have a chance because he hit him.
I also would point out the previous 119 plays in the game where you had an opportunity to stop Derek Carr. Maybe don't give up a 30-yard pass play on the first play of a drive when the game is tied and you have an opportunity to take the lead or go to overtime or whatever it may be. Like, you had opportunities to win the game. One singular penalty never really decides the outcome of a game. Refs don't decide the outcome of a game. You've got opportunities to win. All I heard after the all I heard was him tell us we did a great job talking Ohio State, and then I blacked out after that, actually. So,
well, I think he was talking about the point we made about Ohio State's athletes.
But to your point about getting blown out, one of the few teams I can think of that won a championship while getting, I don't want to say blown out, but a bad loss at home in even college football, is Ohio State back in 2014. They lost to Virginia Tech at home. They came back with Zeke Elliott, by the way, if you want me to bring it back to the Cowboys. With Zeke Elliott, they came back and won a national championship. The key is the Cowboys still have time to get hot, get healthy, and give themselves a chance to make a run.
If it was anything, and it's 888-SAY-ESPN, if it was anything but the Dallas Cowboys, with their record and the way they've played in three of the last four games, no one, and I mean no one, would count them as a Super Bowl contender. It's just because it's the Cowboys, and everybody has to be so excited about Dallas that we even talk about it. Quentin is in D.C. Quentin, I assume you think I'm wrong. That's okay. Everybody makes mistakes.
No. So a couple of things. First of all, thank you for having me. I want to say a couple of points.
We got to go quick. We got time for your best point.
Okay. Sorry. Zeke is done. Pollard should be the starting. I'm a Dallas Cowboy fan. Zeke is done. Pollard should be the starting running back.
Agreed.
Next thing is, I don't hear enough people talking about how Dak leaves big plays on the field by overthrowing wide open wide receivers. We don't talk about that enough because those plays are, to me, are small game changers within the game that allows us to get the ball down the field. That last third down play where he wasn't under pressure. He fouled the pocket, but he throws it at the guy's feet. Those plays matter, and we don't talk about that enough when it comes to that.
All right, appreciate it. Quentin, you agree with that, Braden?
I think every great – I mean, I've seen Aaron Rodgers overthrow people. I've seen Patrick Mahomes overthrow people. I do agree the one where he rolled out on a third down and he throws it at the guy's feet was a bad throw. He also made a beautiful touch throw down the seam to Dalton Schultz to get the game to where it was. So I think if you're concerned as a Dallas Cowboys fan about the offense, I don't think you're focused on the right side of the ball.
I actually think you're not focused. It's not Dak. It's everything else. It's not being able to run the ball. It's defense. Etc. Yeah. That is Straight Talk from Straight Talk Wireless. 5G is here, but the big carriers want you to sign a pricey long-term contract to get in on the action. But I'm here to tell you, don't do that, because Straight Talk Wireless has rolled out 5G coverage nationwide. Plans starting at just $35 a month, no contract, and I will even get you a Samsung Galaxy A32 5G for only $299, all on America's Best Networks. I worked with them to give you that deal. 5G coverage, 5G phones, less money. It's Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. 5G capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary. A lot of stuff going on. Big games this weekend. But there's some games sort of under the radar that you might not even be thinking about that will have big playoff implications. And there's still a lot of Cowboys fans that have things to say. 888-SAY-ESPN, if you're one of them. The Cowboys are out of the Super Bowl, and that's just how it's going to be on Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Bart and Hahn.
That's right. It is Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio. Matt Jones, Braden Gall. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests will appear on the Goodyear Hotline, 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. I got a lot of Cowboys fans on, ready to get all worked up and try to convince themselves that the Cowboys matter this year, but we'll get to them in a minute.
they're in first place.
Yeah, they're in first place, but in the worst division. But what I do want to talk about is everybody knows about the Packers and Rams, Titans and Patriots this weekend. Those are huge games. But there are three games that I think are a little under the radar that are actually very important for the playoff picture. And I want to get your take, Braden, on who's going to win them. You got first the Steelers and the Bengals. Now, I'm just going to say this. Unless you've been to the Cincinnati Bengals Stadium for a Steelers game, you may not understand that's a dangerous place to be. Do not bring your children when the Steelers come to the Bengals. There'll be more fights in the stands than there'll be action on the field. But this year, unlike a lot of the most recent years, it's a big game for both teams in the playoff. Who you got?
Yeah, I mean, all four teams right above 500 in this division right now. So just anything can happen. Cincinnati sort of bouncing back, 4-point favorite here against Pittsburgh. Listen, the Bengals, Joe Burrow, the way they're moving on offense, all those weapons, I like Cincinnati here at home.
I like Pittsburgh, actually. Cincinnati is getting the wins that are not crucial, but they're not winning the in-division games yet. And I feel like the Steelers still have some mojo on them, and I think you're going to get it. Ben Roethlisberger, I feel like, Braden, he's obviously not what he once was, but I think he's better than people act like, especially with all these backups playing right now. I think I watched him last week. I know they lost, but he played well.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, I would never count Big Ben out for anything. I will say this, though. They did beat the Steelers on the road earlier this year.
They did. They did. So that's exactly – but wasn't that against Mason Rudolph?
That's irrelevant, Matt.
Well, it's at least a little relevant. Chargers –
And they beat Baltimore on the road, too. So I don't know. I think Cincinnati's got a little more grit and toughness than people are giving them credit for.
That's a good point about the Baltimore game. Chargers and the Broncos. The Chargers are a team I can't figure out. A couple weeks ago, I thought they could be a Super Bowl contender. Then they were bad. Then they come back and win last week. Who you got in this one?
Well, what I'm seeing out of Justin Herbert is moving the football with his legs. You know, obviously he had almost 100 yards rushing last week, but that's three straight weeks in a row. He's used his legs to get out of the pocket. Over 300 yards, two of his last three. They're a 2.5-point favorite. I know you've been spending the entire show ripping on the Denver Broncos for being terrible, but they sort of figure out ways to win. I like the Chargers on the road here, man. I don't know about that point spread. I would not gamble on it. I would not touch it. That 2.5-point line is a nasty line. But the Chargers, Justin Herbert, rely more on your quarterback. Ask him to do more. He led him down the field for a couple of big scores late last week. I like the Chargers.
The good thing about the Chargers is because they have no fans, every game is a road game. So when they actually I'm just saying, I'm not even talking trash. I mean, you saw that Pittsburgh game last week. It was 90% Pittsburgh fans there.
Because of that, though,
I actually think they're used to playing on the road. So I don't think road games bother them as much, Braden. That's not trash talking. I just think it's real.
That's straight talk. That's what that is.
That is exactly straight talk. Finally, two teams in the NFC that aren't talked about as contenders, but I think play better than they're given credit for when fully healthy. The Vikings and the 49ers. The winner of this game is on a path to have a playoff berth. Who you got?
Kirk Cousins in Minnesota playing brilliant football last week against Green Bay. You know, Justin Jefferson had an unbelievable game. The Niners, meanwhile, have won 3 out of 4. They're at home, 3-point favorite. I'm with you. I think both these teams are fairly well coached. And well-coached teams find ways to get better as the year goes along. I'm with you. I think the winner of this game has a really good chance to sort of work their way back into the playoff conversation, especially in both divisions where the Rams and the Cardinals and the Packers are losing games. So I'll go with the Niners here just because they're favored and they're at home and they've won 3 out of 4, but I would put nothing past Kirk Cousins in that offense.
I'm starting to have a little bit of confidence in the Vikings because, you know, that game against the Packers, that wasn't a fluke. That was a shootout. The Packers came back, looked like they had won, and the Vikings came back again. And when a team takes a punch in the mouth and then is able to respond, Braden, especially against a good team, I actually gain more respect for that team. Yeah, I think the Vikings are sneaky good.
Is 10-1 a good touchdown to interception ratio? Because that's where Kirk Cousins is right now.
Cousins, one of those dudes that, like, people have made fun of so much that when he plays well, they won't give him credit. But you know what? You can get in your own head and do that for players, and then they don't. Then you overlook when things are going really well for them. And Cousins has been doing very, very well. Well, not doing as well as Dallas Cowboy Nation. They're on the phones, ready to come after me. But also, what about Michigan Nation? They play Ohio State. Are they going to be able to do it? That's next on Barton Hahn.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.